families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As everyone awaits Robert Mueller's report to be released, President Trump before leaving for Mar-a-Lago Resort.
It's just a continuation of the same witch hunt. They know it, and behind closed doors, they laugh at it. It's just a continuation of the same nonsense.
The president says he's unsure when the complete report will be finished, but calls it a complete waste of time. Several of the Democratic presidential candidates are skipping APEC, the pro-Israel conference, after a progressive group called on them to boycott the event. Democrats running for their party's presidential nomination in 2020 are staying away from next week's APEC conference in what progressive groups see as a shifting sign of the political tide. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ all suffered their worst trading day since January 3rd of this year. The Dow lost 460 points to close at 25,502. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
An Indonesian airline is canceling a nearly $5 billion order for Boeing's 737 MAX jetliner. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes with the details.
An official for Garuda Airlines saying its passengers have lost confidence in the aircraft after over 300 people died in two crashes in less than 5 months, one last October in Indonesia and one earlier this month in Ethiopia. The airline had ordered 50 of those types of planes in 2014. It had only taken delivery of one so far, but it's telling Boeing it doesn't want the other 49. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Convicted felons in Tennessee may soon have their voting rights restored thanks to a bill awaiting a full House floor vote. The proposed legislation would restore the right to vote for around 320,000 people who have felony convictions. The bill would also simplify the voter registration process for felons and remove the requirement that they be up to date on their child support payments. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
In some of his most revealing comments on why he decided against running for president in 2020, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg cited his age, but he also took aim at some of the progressives in the Democratic Party.
And I've assembled a team already to go. At some point, you've got to say, look, I would be 79 years old when I took office. To start a four-year job, maybe an eight-year job at age 79 may not be the smartest thing to do. But I think if I thought I could win, I would have. I just couldn't see a path where I could get the nomination and to spend the next year and a half, 2 years of my life campaigning. But it's just not going to happen on a national level for somebody like me starting where I am, unless I was willing to change all my views and go on what CNN called an apology tour.
A majority of Americans feel that circus animals are rarely treated well and support a ban of using wild animals in circuses. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has the details.
The Monmouth University poll found 54% of those surveyed would favor a law to prohibit the use of wild animals in circuses, while 34% would oppose such a law. The poll also revealed 74% of politically self-described liberals would support the prohibition. Meanwhile, a majority of Americans believe wild animals in aquariums, zoos, safari parks, and in marine parks are usually well-treated. I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hi, I wanted to play that, and I hope you tune in to Nicole's program on Wednesdays, and hope everyone out there tries to find some way that we can do something to help, and the nonprofits do some amazing work. And we'll be talking more about that. I had some guests last week from volunteers one-on-one, volunteer guardianship one-on-one, I should say. And they do some amazing work with individuals here in the county who need someone as they get older to help them out. And this is a great program, volunteer program that was established. And our own Susan Hoffman, the surrogate here, was one of the co-founders. And it continues, and hope, in fact, everyone will come out for the gala, which is going to be June 13th, and it's going to be honoring DJ Wright, who was one of the, actually was a president of Volunteers Guardian One-on-One, and has done so many other things in the community. So in any event, the other thing I do want to definitely talk about is the Women's Leadership Summit, and that's Thursday, April 9th. From 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Hawk Point Golf Club. The summit includes breakfast and lunch, and I'm always very impressed with the food at Hawk Point for any one of these functions. But the Women's Leadership Summit, if you haven't heard about it, contact the Chamber, go on the Chamber website, register, call the Chamber. The keynote speaker is going to be Megan Lamb from Cisco Systems, and there will be a panel in the morning, and then there will be breakout sessions. So do think of doing that. And now we'll play one spot, and then I'll tell you what our weather is for the weekend. And, of course, this is the sports guys. Today, so far, I'm the only sports guy. I know Bill is not able to be with us, and John promised he'd be on time. Well, John's promise of being on time is not quite accurate, and I hope you don't have to listen to me for the entire hour, especially if we're talking about NCAA basketball. And guess who just walked in? I'll give him a minute to get himself together while I'll do the weather. Hey, yo, John. And you don't have to talk for a minute. I'm sure you are. And, in fact, I have to figure out which Mike, you have. But guess what? The weather for the weekend.
I can tell you what the weather in Las Vegas is going to be. It's going to be 72 degrees for the next 6 days, and I just happen to be going to be there the next 6 days.
Yeah. John is leaving for Las Vegas tomorrow morning, all you sports guys, what he's doing. And I'll just tell you the weather tomorrow and Sunday should be beautiful here, mostly sunny tomorrow, and high of about 58 degrees on Sunday. But, of course, we're sending John to Las Vegas. This is really a business trip for all you listeners. And I'm not sure which mic you have, so I'm going to turn them all on.
Okay.
But the reason
it's absolutely a business trip.
Yep. Well, and he's going to go scouting out the new stadium and what's going to happen when the Raiders move to Las Vegas and try to figure out how we could.
And I'm going to ask around for tickets because you, me, and Bill. I even have the name of the LLC we're going to form to own the tickets, and we'll call it Sports Guy. How about this? Sports Guys LLC.
That would be great.
We're really looking
to buy four season tickets because
to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right, and the reason for that is, of course, there's no way I could live long enough to get season tickets for the Packers. People generally put their kids on the waiting list the day they're born. And unfortunately, my father.
Yeah, they copied the
that.
Giants. Of course.
Yeah, when the Giants, you used to be able to get Giants tickets. But the point is, John and I and Bill realized that we really will have to retire one of these days, and we could probably make money, a lot of money, if we had.
It beats practicing law.
Well, it would be. I can imagine. I really think that's going to be a very popular franchise.
Extremely, you know, brilliant business move. And the NFL, they do everything the right way.
Well,
they do.
The teams don't necessarily do everything in the right way.
Although I heard a very negative development yesterday. There's, you know, we're not hearing much about the crafty one in New England. There's talk that despite videotape evidence. Eyewitnesses that they don't that the charges may get dismissed for insufficient proof.
Come on.
Do you believe that? Mr. Kraft has some high-priced lawyers up there. You know, we aren't the only high-priced lawyers around, Pat. There's some other ones up there in the Boston area, and the preliminary indication is that. It's going to be a 5-yard penalty, not a 15-yard penalty or a game misconduct. Yeah, the big worry is that they're not going to prosecute at all. Then, of course, it's still up to the commissioner to be able to look at it to see if it can trigger something in the morals clause or something like that in these agreements. But the majority of the people think that Crafty is just too powerful, that he's gonna get by. But I still think in the court of public opinion, he took a huge hit.
Well, but. Are they then going to drop the charges against what I understood was about 100 different men? I mean, isn't that...
Yeah, the other 99 men, though, don't have the same lawyer as he does.
Exactly. But the point is, it's going to be, I think, a real scandal. And we've already seen what's happened with very powerful people. The guy who served, 13 months in jail... pedophile, and he was able to go to work every day. I mean,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
We all know
neither of us practice criminal law, and we know the criminal justice system is quite broken, and it's very hard for us to comment on it because we have such, you know, passionate personal views. I mean, in my view, those kinds of things, human trafficking, child pornography, you know, lock them up and throw away the key. But again, that's my personal view, and this is our sports show, not our legal show.
But the interesting thing is how they come down hard, how the commissioner comes down hard on certain players. And, of course, everybody knows Kraft is one of the, if not the most...
He's a very substantial, influential owner. That's true.
Wouldn't you say he's the most influential owner?
No, I still think nothing is going to happen without the Rooneys and the Maras. If the Rooneys and the Maras aren't on, it's not going to happen. I think my personal belief, the pressure here on Goodell is going to come from the Rooneys and the Maras, maybe even a guy like Jerry Jones, some of those other big guys. I think they're going to pressure Goodell. And even though they have those personal business relationships with Bob Kraft, I think they see it as a tremendous scar on the league, and they're going to want some action taken. I think that's where Goodell may have the trouble, is balancing those interests. He certainly would like to somehow punish Kraft. There's going to be a substantial push the other way to give him a pass, but I think what's going to happen is the traditional ownership, and, you know, you don't have that in Green Bay because if you – If you had a family owning the Packers, you'd have them right up there with the Rooneys and the Maras. But you don't have that kind of
voice.
But
you have the whole community.
You have the community, but it's local, as opposed to some of the other owners,
right.
Who I think it's going to be interesting to see, because the draft is coming up in a couple weeks. The NFL will come back into the news, and they're clearly trying to sweep it under the rug. You haven't heard anything about it. Yesterday was the first time I heard anything substantive about the situation. And again, the reason it came out was that there's some preliminary indication up in the Boston area that this thing's going to go away.
Well, what I find rather interesting is for, what was it, the $89 massage, how many thousands and thousands of dollars he must be paying. He was cheap. He's now paying the lawyers.
Well, but, you know, you and I, that's not bad for our profession to have people who are transgressors let them pay, Pat. What can I tell you?
But I think
even though we don't practice criminal law.
But I think that the thing that those of us, the common folk, have been saying is, why in the world would somebody who was as wealthy as Kraft go to this strip mall massage parlor.
That's the and quite frankly, and then we'll get off this subject, I think, Pat, that is the enigmatic puzzle here, because the suspicion is that, you know, you would go someplace high cost, so there must be something else going on there, and this is a place, these low end places, are where you get the human trafficking.
And absolutely.
That is the problem.
And absolutely. And I've said this before, and we won't go on much, but my daughter, who works for DCPMP, they had to have all of this training about human trafficking right before the Super Bowl.
Correct.
I was shocked.
Yep.
That
because we've seen that when they had the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, was it 4 years ago?
Yep.
For months ahead of time, we were seeing it. In fact, I remember that was when I learned about it. I'm saying, why are they bringing up this human trafficking thing? It's a Super Bowl. Well, it turns out that's the more violations happen Super Bowl week than the rest of the year combined. Wherever the Super Bowl was being played,
apparently that's the case, and they had to have all of this specialized training.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the only time they see it, by the way, but it was so emphasized then, and I remember I felt very naive when I said, well, why? And she said, because that is well known that that's what happens.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm somewhat in mourning. I know we have to talk about the NCAA.
Yes, and Syracuse took a big hit today as well. So they're out of the tournament. So
I have to mention two of my favorite players are no longer going to be playing
with
the
Packers. Yeah, Clay Matthews.
Well, Clay, of course, is going to L.A., and I actually was in some ways more upset. I thought Clay would be leaving. He's not been quite as good the last few years. I didn't think they'd want to pay him the big contract, but Randall Cobb really surprised me. I mean, the only thing that I could say about Randall is, yes, he's been somewhat injury prone, but you know, for him to after an 8-year run with the Packers, you know, he's the veteran receiver signing with your favorite or one of your favorite teams. You know who he signed with?
He signed Matthews.
No, Randall Cobb.
Oh, no, I didn't hear about the Cobb signing. Who did he sign with?
Yeah, that's the one who's even upset.
Who did he sign with?
The Cowboys.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
That traitorous.
You know, and, you know, I mean, he's ranked sixth in franchise history with 470 receptions. I mean, he was really, you know, his postseason receptions, you know, are just behind Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, and Donald Driver. So, I mean, he was really, you know, well-respected, great leader, great player. And I don't know why, you know, he's only 5'10", and it was so much fun to watch him run.
You know, I got a bulletin in here from my Branford Brain Trust, Branford, Connecticut. Chris Sale, pending a physical, signed a $150 million 5-year contract with the Red Sox.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So,
I don't know what Cobb, I mean, both Cobb and Matthews were free agents. So, and I know that, you know, some people would say, well, you know, Cobb was somewhat limited this past season because of hamstring and late season concussion. But he's just one of five players in franchise history to register more than 60 receptions in four consecutive seasons. So
that's a big blow.
I think that's a huge blow.
I think what they're going to do is they're going to strip that team down and then build it back
up.
But
you know
up,
what?
You know?
You know why they can't do that, in my estimation? Aaron Rodgers,
it's in his prime.
Fair.
Yeah, he's in his prime.
He's in his prime, and he's, you know. Yeah.
This is the whole thing with the Giants and Odell. They're going to rebuild, move him to Cleveland, let him play with Baker Mayfield, et cetera, you know?
But Rodgers has got, what, he's 35?
Oh, I don't think he's that old.
32?
I thought Rodgers was about
maybe
32.
Okay, maybe 32. Yeah. He signed a contract until he's 40. But come on, you can't spend the next four years building this team.
For sure.
And I think that, you know, some people are saying, well, because of the cap. But I don't think the Packers were that close to the cap. I know they paid Rodgers a whole lot of money. But yeah,
they're stripping down and they'll rebuild. Who knows? Maybe they're going to
they have a new
rebuild to the draft next month.
And I know that they're pretty interested in some of the players that they've signed. I don't know if you know any of them. Adrian Amos. Do you know Adrian Amos? Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Billy Turner. Apparently those were...
Oh, wow.
You know, four
not household names, but...
No, and, you know, frankly, it's somewhat unusual that the Packers have gone after free agents, because that's not where they usually build the team.
True. Usually through
but
the draft.
Apparently, Amos went in 2015. He was out of Penn State, and he went to the Bears. And four seasons, he appeared in 60 games, 56 starts. And so, you know, he started at least 10 games each season. So, I don't know. He was named a Pro Football Writers Association All-Rookie in 2015. But then that was because he was the first Bear rookie to lead the team in defensive tackles. So... that might be good because he knows the Bears. So that might be now Smith comes after four seasons with the Washington Redskins. Za'Darius Smith. He was a fourth-round pick in 2015 from Kentucky. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know any of these players, but then I don't really, you know, follow a lot of the other teams the way you do.
Well, I was just checking out some of the NCAA scores, and on the women's side, we have a heavy favorite in
UConn.
The 31-2 UConn women, who are playing Towson State tonight, and of course they're always a very entertaining team to watch. Putting so many great stars into the WNBA and so forth. So the question is, when I get to Las Vegas tomorrow, what those odds will be. And, you know, I just had a little hint from one of my buddies up in Greenwich, Connecticut, a little shout out there, that she says that the UConn women are going all the way, no question about it. So I'll see what the odds are. My fear is I'm going to have to bet five to win two, because frequently the UConn women are 2-5 favorites to win. But, you know, they should almost definitely make it to the Final Four, and then it becomes a little bit of a crapshoot. And, you know, anything can go wrong the last couple of games, can have a bad game, whatever.
Well, you know what's amazing with the men is every team in the Associated Press's top 25 has lost games.
Right. There's no undefeated team.
Baylor is the only team that only lost one.
Right.
Of the top 10 that only lost one game. And even UConn lost two. Of course.
Yeah, UConn started 1-2, and they play tonight. In fact, they play in an hour.
Oh, really?
1 hour. Yeah, they have the early evening game tonight.
So what happened with all of the teams that played starting yesterday? Anybody, any upset that you would have thought somebody would have won?
Well, there weren't any games yesterday. You basically are coming off of the conference championships and so
right.
forth, and so really it's pretty much starting up now. And
I think Wisconsin is playing at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Were they in California?
Okay. Trying to check that out here.
Yeah, 4:30. But it says 4:30, but that would be California time, right?
That would be...
And they're playing.
Usually they have California, and what you're looking at, it probably would be California time.
And they're playing the Ducks. So that would be a game tonight.
Yeah.
Who lost today then? Because I've been here, so I hadn't...
Marquette beat Rice, Iowa won, Michigan crushed Kansas. So there were at least three games this afternoon, but I think your bigger games are tonight. Number 2 UConn, number 5 Arizona State, and number 7 Texas. So you've got some big teams playing tonight. And number 1 Mississippi State, who was also 30-2. So, you know, frankly, UConn was 31-2. So technically UConn has the best record, even though they lost two games.
Wait, I thought Baylor had the best record.
I'm talking the women's side.
Oh, on the women's side.
I hadn't switched. Well, you know me, Pat. I'm always going to talk women
before
men.
These,
I mean, come on. You're one of my best friends. You know me.
Well, was Marquette, were you talking to Marquette women? Iowa.
You're jumping back and forth.
Now.
I was jumping a little bit back and forth.
So Marquette men won.
Yes, Iowa men won. Right now, Wisconsin is losing in the first half, but it's a 2-point game. So to Oregon, and they're ranked fifth. So they have a good team.
Well, yeah, and Oregon I think is ranked 12. That Wisconsin has been really kind of up and down. You know, they've not been the great team this year.
Well, they play in a tough conference, so they have they have a lot of heavy. Have a nice weekend. Take care.
Tell your husband we want him to come in, and we'll say this on the air.
On the air,
Mike, you got to come in and tell us about what went on down in Florida when you went down to watch spring training games. Games or game?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which camp was he at?
So, no, he wasn't at a camp. He went down to
down to various places, yeah.
Yeah, he went down to their spring training.
Did he go to Fort Myers and see Fenway South? Big name. I think it's
JetBlue.
Fenway South at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers. That's the Red Sox. I was there 2 years ago. It's a great place.
Yeah, he went to every game. He went to the barbecue.
Which one did he go to? He went to the Mets. Oh, no, I thought we were talking the major leagues here, not the New York Mets, who got pounded today by the Cardinals 15-0. I mean.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have you back in a month and we'll see what happens. Were the Mets? 11-2 out of the box last year. And
that's not even for real yet.
Yeah.
Mike, are you going to really put up with this from John without coming in and defending yourself? I mean, come on. Somebody has to defend the poor Mets.
Well, we'll give you a whole show on that. In another week.
I will come dressed up as the Mets.
There you go. Absolutely.
We're talking to Anna here, who is the vice president of the chamber. And should I say fortunately or unfortunately, married to a Mets fan.
Oh, fortunately. I cannot wait. I've already got everything ready for the first night of the real game.
Well, I can understand. I have a son-in-law who's a Mets fan and another son-in-law who's a Yankees fan, even worse. And so, you know, I'm relying on my daughter Allison to marry a guy in Boston. That's where she lives.
Hey, it so, makes for Thanksgiving dinners it, and all other dinners.
Well, this Thanksgiving dinner, nobody wanted to talk to me because I was wearing the Red Sox World Series championship shirt. My two sons-in-law were running away from me. So,
well,
yeah, what could I tell
you?
You're
having the dinner rolls thrown at you, right?
Well,
exactly.
coming from the Midwest, because we could never get Cub games, mm-hmm. and so nobody from the Midwest, at least I've yet to find somebody who's really a Yankee fan who came out of the Midwest. We all hated the Yankees. So Dave's a Mets fan, and but I'm still loyal to my Chicago Cubs.
Hey, when I lived in Houston for 21 years, I was still loyal to my New York teams, whoever they were at the time. I was loyal.
And you moved out, and then the Astros got good.
Well, you know, some things do happen for better reasons.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Nice having you on as a guest.
And tell Mike that.
Tell Mike,
you know,
we said, have a great season.
He's got to show up.
That's right.
There you go.
Right,
take good care.
Good weekend.
Bye.
And we need somebody to come in, and really, we would love to have somebody come in and talk about basketball, because the one thing that none of us are really basketball fans, although. John, isn't it true that when it gets down to March Madness, I mean, I watch the games.
Everybody's a fan in March.
I would love.
I wind up, you know, we do this week, as you know, every year. We're all lined up for our flights tomorrow and Sunday to go out there and during the week. But see, I get there Saturday. They're not getting there till Sunday. So I've, you know, my brackets aren't blown up yet. You know, give me a day and it'll be blown up. But what I like to do, I don't really go with the brackets that much because – it's just so difficult. But I'm going to try a five-team parlay. I've never won a five-team parlay.
So who's your teams?
Well, when I get out there, I'll see what the odds are, and I'll pick them. But I'm just saying I'll try a five-team parlay, which typically pays 20 to 1. I've never won one. I've won a couple of 14 parlays that might pay 12 to 1, something like that. So we'll see what happens. But on the women's side, the women's is much easier to pick. So you pick a five-team parlay, right. You put Connecticut in there, and you've got a good chance to win. I think you see fewer upsets on the women's side.
Yeah, I think you're right. And UConn is such a powerhouse. You really feel badly for really the good women players who are playing for other colleges because, you know, there just doesn't seem to be anyone.
Well, you've heard me argue about that for years. They should limit the number of scholarships so that, you know, not all the top 10 players in the country will try to flop to Tennessee and UConn. Maybe a couple go to some of these other schools. I mean, you have five players on the court. I'm all for you can have five scholarships for each class. So that's 20 scholarships altogether. That's it.
So is there any limit now?
Oh, yeah. They've got – I don't know what the limit is. That's why in football it was so terrible for a long time. Yeah, I think he had 96 scholarships and they finally reduced – I mean, you'd have a guy who would go to play football at Notre Dame. He'd be on the bench for 3 years as number four running back on the depth chart. And all he wanted to do was play his senior year, get noticed, and maybe he got drafted. You know, that meanwhile, for 3 years, he could have been playing with another team. So,
well, true. But at least the one thing about we will certainly be able to realize that for UConn and a school like UConn in Tennessee, nobody is paying their way on these teams if they're not really great. So, you know, wealthy parents, forget it. You're not going to get your girls on the UConn or Tennessee basketball teams just because you're donating some big money. Now, maybe water polo or, you know, something else, but not, you know, in that scandal. And especially difficult for sports because there's so many really good athletes that need the scholarships, and they're
right.
worthy of the scholarships.
Right.
So we won't go into that and the most recent scandal among, you know, not just sports, though. This isn't just coaches. I mean, this is, you know, lots of folks that have seemed to pay their way into.
True. And I agree with you. And you know, some of these schools have evolved into an institution. UConn basketball – who heard of it before the 84-85 season?
Right.
You know, Villanova won in 84 because you had an all-Big East final with Villanova and Georgetown. And the problem was UConn could never get in the Big East. And they didn't get in football. They did get in basketball. But basically, since the mid-80s, and for some reason the class of 85 at UConn comes to mind, that was when they sort of launched their big basketball program, and you know they got some tremendous players, and next thing you know, UConn is on the map.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because Midwest, you know, Wisconsin was never a big basketball school. I mean, when I went to the University
yeah,
of
but
Wisconsin
always fields good teams in
yeah,
all the sport.
They're always
competitive.
Well, maybe. But honestly,
I mean, it's a football school primarily.
Well, and back in Wisconsin, when I grew up, granted that was lots of years ago, Marquette was a basketball school. Wisconsin.
Oh,
was
well, Marquette goes way, way back.
Well,
absolutely.
They do. But I mean,
I remember they won it in 76 or 7, yeah. Marquette
but,
won.
But just going back even into the 60s, you know, anybody really interested in basketball, everybody watched Marquette. I never went to a basketball game that I can recall at the university when I was there. I went to every single home football game. So that was a real difference. And, you know, so it was nice to see Wisconsin becoming better in all sports. But just it was never that was. In fact, the big schools in basketball, Indiana and Marquette. And, of course, everybody watched Notre Dame no matter what they played.
Oh, who watches Notre Dame? They only watch Notre Dame if there's nothing else on.
No. Come on. Notre Dame.
I have this argument with my son-in-law all the time. He walks around with an ND shirt on just to piss me off. And so we have more BC people in our family, so we wear Boston College shirts.
Yeah.
And he and my brother-in-law have the ND shirts, you know.
But, well, you know, and I've said this before. Notre Dame was the college for everyone in the Midwest who didn't go to college. Really.
That's true.
Back,
yeah, if you had a room for somebody, you'd be in your geographic area. In fact, I think that same phenomenon helped a lot of schools like, you know, BC to some extent, UConn, Syracuse. You know, people who live in New York, a lot of them rooted for Syracuse basketball, Syracuse football, not just the alumni, okay?
Right.
And, you know, UConn, same thing. And up in the Boston area in New England, BC has a pretty good following. So you do get regional schools that way.
But although a lot of people in Wisconsin would follow Wisconsin football, I think Notre Dame was as popular with people who had not gone to college. And, of course,
yes.
Catholics.
Yes.
I mean,
the Catholic piece of it for
but
sure.
How did a school like Gonzaga get to be such a good
Well, you know, if you get – remember, with basketball, you only need five good – you only need really two good players because you're only putting five on the floor. So if you get a dominant center and maybe, you know, a good point guard, yeah, you can run the floor with those two guys and then, you know, have a good bench. And next thing you know, you're in the top 25. You start attracting some people and you get lucky with a couple of, you know, diamonds in the rough that maybe a Duke or a Kansas – and all the big basketball schools don't pick that kid up. And then that kid by his junior year, because, you know, the kids had 3 years to learn and get better. So and that's where I think a Gonzaga would take credit for having built a program under very adverse circumstances, because look at what you're going up against. You know, when you look at the storied franchises in college
right.
basketball, very difficult
right.
to attract the top kids.
Well, and I mean –
and, of course, Duke, you know, for all of their success,
right.
you know, I think they were the last back-to-back school. Maybe Kentucky got it in there. But, you know, you take some of those schools and look at the reputations of those schools, you know, and it's the NCAA has done a very bad job of cleaning up their act. Now you have another admissions scandal. I mean, the NCAA and college admissions in general has been atrocious. And you know, you're talking about the NFL and Goodell and Kraft. I think the college process, Pat, is way worse. I really do.
Now, that's interesting because I never thought that at Wisconsin. And one of the things about some of the schools is they're difficult. In other words, I don't care the easiest classes you take. you know, it's not easy to get through some of these the good schools.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, your better schools, you know, like Georgetown was up there for a long time. You know, now I'll never forget this. Okay, Patrick Ewing, who went to Boston Latin. He was either going to go to BC or Georgetown, and he kept everybody waiting. And his preference was to go to BC. He's from Boston. You know why he went to Georgetown? No. Because they agreed to give him unlimited time to take tests, and BC said, no, we're not going to do it. We'll give you tutoring. We're not going to give you unlimited time. So he could sit there for 4 hours and take a test, and, you know, they probably cheated anyway. But BC wasn't going to do that, and that's why he went to Georgetown.
And
Notre Dame, for as much as I hate the school, they're gonna be academically solid too.
Well, and that is true. Every school, in that sense, should have the same requirements. Now, do I believe that athletes need tutors? Yeah, I mean, if you look,
well, they're putting all the time in. You know, in practices, and the travel when they play. I have no problem with the tutoring. Hey, the goal is to get an education. So at the end of the 4 years, if they've spent thousands of hours in the gym or on the practice field or on the basketball court, you know, promoting the school, then I think the school, you could argue, does have an obligation to give them that extra tutoring time. And I have no problem with that whatsoever.
In fact, I'd go a step further and say that if an athlete can no longer play because he's injured, that they should pay for the rest of his education or her education.
Yeah, in fact, my dad, famous story growing up, my dad, the reason my dad went to Clarkson University, he was accepted to play football at Georgia Tech. And he was going to go. And then he found out. My dad was an engineer, and he was in the School of Engineering, so he was a smart guy. So he asked one question of the coach. He said, gee, coach, if I get hurt and I can't play football, what happens? And he said, well, sorry, your scholarship is only as good as you can play. The other school said, no, just come on up. If you commit for 4 years, even if you're injured, we'll let you play the whole time. So we'll continue your scholarship. So that's why my dad didn't go to Georgia Tech.
Well, and that's a much better and an honest way, because there's so many of these kids that do come in.
Sure, and, sure. Now, a school like UConn, who anybody can waltz in and out of, I mean, you know, your standards are low there. Same thing with Rutgers and some of these other schools. Anybody can waltz in and out. So they don't have to be quite that selective there.
Yeah, except that maybe these kids.
Now I'm being told that Quinnipiac in Connecticut is now latching on to this whole women's basketball thing, and they're an up-and-coming basketball power. So it's, for my money, it's great to have schools in the Northeast be strong, because you've had, for far too long, you've had these Southeastern Conference and Midwestern teams be real big in basketball, and I think it's high time that the Northeast schools get better, get the talented kids, and, you know, they generally have better educational systems here. So I'd like to see them get on the map.
Well, and talking about here, we're going to take a break to play some.
Uh-oh, I'm getting from our fan base, I'm getting very stiff criticism here about my comments about breezing into UConn. They're telling me that that's not the case. So perhaps I stand corrected on that.
Oh, I doubt it, because I have the same views. And but whether they breeze into UConn or Rutgers, the point is, if they get a scholarship, an athletic scholarship, and they can no longer play, they should be able to stay in
school. They should
be
made to honor that scholarship.
I agree.
They should. Okay, let's take a few ads here, and we'll be back to talk some baseball, perhaps.
Oh.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic.
Sorry, we had to put a few ads on because we had been negligent at the beginning of the program. We're back, the sports guys, Pat, and we're missing Bill today, but Pat and John are chit-chatting, and you may want to talk something about baseball.
Well, frankly, before that, Pat, I get my religious instruction for the day. I think a lot of people know, usually you and I go out to dinner after the show with Bill, usually. And I was thinking all day, I'm dying. I want to go to the hamburger place. I just feel like having some nice, beef or something. But my Connecticut conscience has just reminded me that I'm Roman Catholic, and therefore we can't eat meat because it's Lent. Now, had she not said that, I would have forgotten all about it, and in good conscience, I would have enjoyed a nice juicy steak or something with you. But now, no, somebody's got to remind me that Catholics can't eat meat on Friday today. So thank you very much.
Yeah, well, just a couple weeks ago, I reminded John just as he was about to take the second bite of that one juicy hamburger.
Right, correct. And then he said, aren't you not supposed to eat meat today? And I said, well, it's another sin to throw waste food and throw it away. I bought the hamburger in good conscience. And then it wasn't until I bit into it that you reminded me that I wasn't supposed to eat meat. But this time, a certain alter ego conscience of mine has already reminded me, can't eat meat today. So I don't know. I got to go have fish and chips or something, That's fine for the Irish, but the Italians don't eat fish and chips. So what can I tell
you?
Well,
the biggest problem, though, is if St. Patrick's Day turns out to be a Friday in Lent. Big problem.
Oh, that's right.
Big problem.
But that won't be for five more years because it was on Sunday. Well, let's see.
Well, the word
you can't eat meat on Friday, but can't you drink during Lent on Friday?
Well, true, but you can't eat your corned beef.
Oh, it's the corned beef piece. That's right. That's
right. Of course,
right.
Most of us Irish don't even think of corned beef as beef.
This is true. You're right.
Yeah, the big problem.
No, I thought for a second you were going to say that on Fridays during Lent, you're not supposed to consume alcohol, and
Well, that's only if you give it up. But
maybe you give up alcohol for a while. I don't drink, so I don't. That's one thing I don't have to give up. And we all know a couple of other things that I don't want to give up as well. So, maybe we'll get a definitive ruling on that before the end of the show, whether you can drink on Fridays during Lent if you're Roman Catholic. So anyway, right along.
But the one thing is, of course, they don't have the New York parade on Sunday.
Correct.
So they have to have it on the 16th. I don't know why, frankly, because, whatever. It's, St. Patrick's Day parade and celebration in the United States it's not even done in Ireland. I met somebody recently who was from Ireland, and, they come over here to come to our parades.
Oh, no question.
Back to baseball.
Back to baseball and the world champion Red Sox out to defend their title starting on Thursday. They will be in Seattle. I will be in Las Vegas. We will be in the Flamingo Sportsbook at 7 p.m. Las Vegas time watching the Red Sox demolish the Seattle Mariners, and I will have a bet on that game because I'll be there Thursday night watching it, and I'll be 10 feet from the betting counter, so I'll be able to bet on the Reds. So I don't know who the opening pitcher is going to be. I don't know that Cora has set the starting pitcher yet.
Now, are the friends who are going with you, are they all Red Sox?
Everybody's from Boston. Everybody's from Boston. So, yeah, there'll be a slight Red Sox.
So they're going to be, what, four or five obnoxious Red Sox?
No. The ones who are the obnoxious ones are the Yankee fans who are just going to be there in the background, throwing tomatoes at Red Sox fans. What can I tell you? They're just a bit jealous, so what can I tell you? But we'll have lots of fun. And quite frankly, the way it's shaping up, Pat, I don't know how, you know, this Yankee team, I don't know how they can't win the AL East. I mean, I think the Red Sox and the Yankees will both win, barring significant injuries, they'll both win over 100 games. But I'll be curious when I get out there to see what the odds are to win the AL East, because you can bet on the division and on the league and, of course, the World Series. I just cashed my Red Sox World Series winning check a couple of days ago and hope to get another
one
next year.
And how much was that?
Well, that amount will go and say, you never know, somebody from the IRS might be listening, so okay. I won't disclose that. But
is that a bet that you made?
I made that bet
year?
A year ago today.
Okay.
A year ago today, I made that bet. And the reason that's significant is you have to cash the check. You have to cash the betting slip within 365 days, 1 year. Well, I bought the ticket today. I'm not going till tomorrow. So if I landed in Vegas and went to one of the Harrah's casinos, they would have said I'm 1 day too late. I'm literally a day late and dollar short. So I had to actually mail it in. Didn't get to experience the pleasure of cashing that winning ticket. But that's okay. They still mail me the check.
Okay.
But it's going to be very exciting, and I do think the Cubs, with all the young talent, will have a good year. I think they'll be more competitive this year.
The interesting thing
is what the Phillies are going to do, and that Eastern. I mean, they picked up Harper, and of course, how about the Angels giving $400 million to?
That's unbelievable.
That is just into my trust. The worst part for Red Sox fans is that now Mookie Betts wants $400 million. And, you know, he's just a great player, and I'm afraid they're not going to be able to re-sign him. They're paying him $20 million for this year, and that's it. He's a free agent. So going to be real interesting.
Well, there actually was an interesting, sports in the New York Times is often not that interesting. But on February 24th, it was really interesting. They did a comparison of the $100 million players, and they had this chart, and anybody who's really a baseball fan should follow it because, and then they talk about the average salaries and, you know, the incredible thing in both baseball and football, of course, is how salaries have escalated in the last few years. I mean, just unbelievable.
And I don't think it's for the better. Listen, we're all for the athletes doing as much as they can. They work hard. They're extremely talented, and they could get hurt the first play of the year and be done. But having said that, with these kinds of salaries, you price the ticket. I mean, in Boston, a decent ticket is close to $100.
Yeah, and that's so unfair.
And you got parking. Now, I mean, it's New York is worse because the parking is even worse in New York. Plus, you got the tolls and all that.
But I think it's also perhaps a mistake because average people can't take their kids to the games the way they used to. And, for example, Manny Machado, $300 million 10-year contract with San Diego Padres. Is he really going to be able to play for 10 years?
Well, but that's the whole point. There's usually they void the last few years. But see, it works for the player's benefit because if he gets injured this year, he can just make them honor the contract for 9 more years and he'll get paid. And that's really what it's about. Sure. It's not like football. Football, yeah, if you're injured, they don't have to pay you unless it's guaranteed. Baseball, they're guaranteed. Basketball, they're guaranteed. And I'm just getting an update here just to close the loop on the conversation. It is permissible to drink for Roman Catholics to drink on Fridays during Lent. And to your point, Pat, if St. Paddy's Day falls on a Friday, the diocese usually gives a special edict and allows for the corned beef and the drinking and what have you.
But they only corned beef.
What's that?
Only corned beef.
Only corned beef. Exactly.
Chicken.
That's right. And, of course, that usually requires a small donation to the diocese. You know, I mean, keeping in Roman Catholic tradition, a small donation is appreciated.
Well,
so,
you know,
I thank my definitive source in Connecticut for that update on the You see, Pat, I used to skip Sunday school, so I don't know all these things. You know, I'm a bad Catholic. I got to rely on other people to give me good information.
Guess what?
We just went off the air.
Bill Saunders was a constable.
I didn't realize it was.
Oh my God. Associated.